All right, we have one case on our 1:30 en banc docket, and then we will take a recess and reconvene again at 3 with a panel change at that time. The 1:30 case is Robertson versus Home State. If the clerk will please announce counsel.
May it please the court, Mr. Benjamin Smith will represent the appellant, and Mr. George Jackson will represent the athlete.
All right, Mr. Smith.
May it please the court, it's an honor to be before the entire court, and we believe because of the Fifth Circuit's holding in American Specialty Lines and the Texas Supreme Court opinion in Fairfield that there is coverage for Paul Robertson's claim, which is not excluded by either the workers' compensation exclusion or the employee indemnification and employer's liability exclusion. Mr. Robertson obtained a judgment against his employer. The employer had insurance with Home State. Home State, in a declaratory judgment action, asserted that there was an exclusion, and these two exclusions were granted. The crux of our argument is a non-subscriber claim is not an obligation under the workers' compensation laws of this state. It is a common law claim, and that is what the Fifth Circuit held in American Specialty Lines versus Rentec. Furthermore, it is not an obligation in the sense that it is merely a claim and not an obligation. It is a claim that is contingent on a jury finding that there is some liability on behalf of the employer. Two courts of appeals, the Houston Court of Appeals and the Dallas Court of Appeals, have also held that a non-subscriber claim does not arise under the workers' compensation laws. In re Autotainment Partners, which is the Houston Court of Appeals case from 2006, holds that a negligence claim against a non-subscriber does not constitute a workers' compensation, a claim for workers' compensation benefits under the Workers' Compensation Act. At common law, a individual could sue their employer for injuries sustained by negligence on the job or intentional torts on the job. In an effort to stem those claims and to provide a mechanism and encourage employers to adopt workers' comp insurance, the Workers' Comp Act was passed, and if an employer adopted workers' compensation insurance, that provides protection to the employer. It provides an insurance policy. If not, the common law claims still exist, although the legislature has provided that in an effort to encourage employers to sign on with workers' comp, that certain defenses will not apply. But it is still a common law claim. It is, if the claim itself is an obligation, it is not an obligation under any workers' compensation, disability benefits, or unemployment compensation law, or any similar law. Rather, it is a common law claim, and it makes sense. The reason for this exclusion is to prohibit to protect the insurance company from paying a claim for which there's other insurance, for to protect a liability insurer to pay when there it would be payments by a disability law or a workers' compensation law. But here we have a common law claim. We don't have a law that has been enacted to provide insurance benefits for the employee. Rather, the employee has to go to court and establish that there was negligence. Even if the employee was injured on the job, an employee in their negligence claim has to show that the employer breached a duty. Under the Workers' Compensation Act, all an employee has to do is show that they were injured in the course and scope of their employment, and it's presumed if they file a notice within a certain period of time that they are entitled to benefits, and the burden is on the employer to show that they're not entitled to benefits. We believe the Fifth Circuit correctly analyzed that a common law claim for negligence is not an obligation under the worker imposed by the Workers' Compensation Act. The Fifth Circuit went through and analyzed the Kroger versus King case and noted that the Texas Supreme Court expressly disavowed a holding of the Court of Appeals and indicated that it was not holding that a common law claim was a workers' compensation claim under the Workers' Compensation Act. In addition, it also analyzed some federal cases that held that a case was removable when claims arose under a Workers' Compensation Act. And the Fifth Circuit, who had jurisdiction over those Texas cases, held that that was not a correct interpretation to hold that those cases stood for the proposition that a claim was an obligation under the Workers' Compensation Act, and declined to state whether or not in the context of removal, which is a the removal statute 28 U.S.C. 1441 et sequitur through 1445 is interpreted very broadly against federal jurisdiction and in favor of state jurisdiction, and they held that there was a different analysis.
To kind of give us the big picture, this is an automobile policy.
Well, it's similar to an automobile policy. It's a it's a policy on one of the business's trucks. That's correct. I don't think it makes any difference. I believe under the language of this insurance contract, it's clear that this claim comes within the four corners of this insurance contract. But there are policies that are general liability policies that also have this same exclusion, but the exclusion has the same effect. Under the triggering language of the coverage of the policy, can cover for claims of negligence, and then there are exclusions. There's broader coverage under the general liability policy than the auto policy, but in this case, because the injury took place on an auto, there's no exclusion of it being covered under those terms. So while Home State has argued that, well, one is a general liability policy and the other's not, the language has the same meaning. Now, interestingly, there was much discussion by the parties in this case and the previous opinions in this case that about whether or not the workers' compensation exclusion was ambiguous. The Fifth Circuit held that it was not ambiguous, although it did analyze that the Texas Supreme Court, as well as other courts, have held that ambiguity could be reached by the court on its own motion. We believe that the insurance code, under the insurance code provision, actually puts the burden on the insurer to show that the insurance policy, the insurance exclusion, is not unambiguous, and so it's their duty to show that it's not it's not ambiguous. The Fifth Circuit said it's not ambiguous. It's not excluded under the workers' compensation exclusion, and we believe that the Fifth Circuit, a very conservative panel, correctly interpreted in making their eerie determination of what the Texas Supreme Court would hold based on Texas law, that a common law claim is not a common law negligence claim is not an obligation under the workers' compensation laws. Yes, Your Honor.
You just talked about ambiguity, and I'd like to be clear on your understanding of whether or not that issue was raised and addressed in briefing to the trial court.
Well, there is a paragraph in the summary judgment response regarding ambiguity. There is no specific response with regard to the workers' compensation exclusion. So while we assert that the one paragraph regarding the law of ambiguity in Texas law applies to both arguments. There is an express argument with regard to the employee indemnification and employer's liability, which it was one of those things. The case really, as it was developed in the trial court and those proceedings, we really seemed to focus on exclusion four, and we didn't really focus on three. So that was the thrust of the argument. But we believe we've preserved it. We also have made the argument that the insurance code provision puts the burden on them to show that the language is not ambiguous.
And then let's talk about, you've talked about Rentec. The case in Rentec involved a totally different kind of insurance policy, didn't it?
I believe it was a general business liability policy, and this is a policy on an 18 big truck.
I believe that it was an umbrella liability policy over an employer's liability policy. Which does that make a difference?
I don't believe it does, because the definition of the term obligation or any of the terms in this exclusion have the same effect whether or not it's a policy on a vehicle or an umbrella policy or an employee liability policy or a general business insurance policy. The meaning of obligation does not change. If it does change, then on its face it's ambiguous because it has competing meanings. So our position is the exclusion has the words have the same effect in any policy, whether it be an umbrella policy or a vehicle policy.
Your contention is just that the mere fact that the insurance policies have different purposes and are bought for different reasons are not to be considered in applying the interpretation that this court is to make of the language in the policies.
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. The Rentec decision talking about a circumstance to where they're attempting to apply Texas law, and that case is specifically provides that the court's making a eerie guess as to what the Supreme Court of Texas might do.
Yes.
Eerie in the sense of the eerie
versus
decisions.
Tompkins.
Yes. And so you're asking us to apply authority from a Fifth Circuit decision that's just making a guess about what our Supreme Court might do.
Well, and I believe it's correct. It's called an eerie guess, and I believe the Fifth Circuit is, under the Erie versus Tompkins line of cases, are charged with determining to the best of their ability what the Texas Supreme Court would hold in a case.
All right, and then in terms of the actual circumstance of case that was in Rentec, the plaintiff in that case went over backwards to say that they were not attempting to make a claim in any way related to Texas Workers' Compensation Act, didn't they?
I believe they framed theirs as a negligence case.
And excluded any reference to Texas Workers' Compensation and specifically provided that they weren't making the claim under Texas Workers' Compensation.
Well, I don't remember how the issue of it being a non-subscriber case arose, but I believe that they certainly took, that was one of the positions they took, that it was not a non-subscriber case.
And in contrast, in plaintiff's first amended original petition in this case, Robertson against Ready Mix and Home State, the language is stated at paragraph number 6, at all relevant times, defendants were non-subscribers and did not provide their employees workers' compensation insurance. So in this case, it's before our court, there was a specific involvement of the exclusions of defenses that would normally be afforded at common law as to the defendants in this case, different from the way it was handled in Rentec.
Correct. And we've asserted that the exclusion of the defenses does not create an obligation under the Act.
And in terms of the exclusion of defenses, the defenses that are excluded includes comparative negligence. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And it was not applied in this case, comparative negligence.
I don't believe
against ready mix.
It was not in the trial.
So the differences in what Fifth Circuit was looking at is that they had a different policy. They had a circumstance to where the plaintiffs were not at all referencing any provisions that benefited their claim under the Texas Workers' Compensation Act, right?
Yes, although I believe the argument was addressed that they were addressed as non-subscribers for purposes of one of the arguments in the opinion in Rentec.
In the opinion, but not in the plea.
Correct.
So
I believe that the employer can.
So the distinctions are there from what was the factual circumstances in Rentec as opposed to what's the factual circumstances in our Robertson case.
Yes, the employer in that case is the one that asserted that it was a non-subscriber case.
Okay. And in terms of language in the exclusions, they're not exactly identical, are they, Mr. Smith?
I don't believe they are exactly identical, but I think in all relevant parts they are identical. The interpretation of the term obligation under workers' compensation laws.
Well, how is it that if an employer is buying an employer's liability insurance policy that is designed specifically for the benefit of the employees in terms of the aspects of the employees' possible claims that were not covered by workers' comp, an employer's liability insurance policy specifically designed to do that is?
It certainly is aimed at providing coverage for a broad spectrum of claims that could be made by employees.
And then in terms of a general liability insurance policy, umbrella-type policy that we're looking at in the Robertson case, that's designed for protection as to third-party claims against the employer, isn't it?
Well, I don't interpret the policy as being that narrow as with regard to third-party claims. I believe that the coverage language covers certain negligence claims made against the employer.
Your contention is that the policies are close enough because they're insurance policies, and they might have some similar language on exclusions that we ought to ignore the fact that there might be a totally different purpose for the employer in buying those policies as to what we render in terms of a decision on interpretation of the language in exclusion.
Yes, under the State Farm versus Reed and those line of cases by the Texas Supreme Court, under the four corners and the eight corners rule, the courts are required to review the language in the policies and not the purposes behind the policies.
And you're aware that the judgment in the trial court was a summary judgment granting declaratory relief to Home State based on two grounds in the pleadings and the briefing that was presented in trial court. And one of them was the application of the workers' compensation exclusion language, and the other was on the basis of the employee exclusion language.
Yes.
And is it your position before this court that the definition of a domestic employee is anybody that might work in the United States?
Yes, it is our position that the only case in Texas that has addressed the employee exclusion has held that the term domestic employee that's set forth in this exclusion is ambiguous, and one reasonable interpretation would afford coverage to an employee who was an employee in the United States.
And in the case, it says that the domestic employee is one who works in the house or who does cleaning duties.
I know that there's some language in the Workers' Compensation Act that talks about that.
Thank you, sir, for answering my question.
Okay. All right.
What sort of weight do you propose that we would give to the Fifth Circuit's opinion?
Well, I believe that the Fifth Circuit's opinion is a correct statement of law, reviewing not only its...
Let me rephrase. What weight would we give to an eerie yes opinion that came from the Fifth Circuit?
I believe that in this case, it is deserving of extra weight. It certainly doesn't carry the weight of the Texas Supreme Court, but it in this case, because it holds that certain federal decisions within its circuit do not support the contention that this is not an obligation with regard to those district court opinions and some Fifth Circuit opinions, that it should be afforded additional weight because in its eerie guess, it is excluding the reasoning that the federal court decisions supported the exclusion of coverage in this case.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Smith. We appreciate your
Thank
arguments.
You.
Mr. Jackson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. May it please the court, counsel. I agree with Mr. Smith. It is indeed an honor to be here today. Let me first say that the trial court was correct in granting summary judgment for Home State County Mutual Insurance Company on two distinct grounds, the first being the workers' compensation exclusion and the second being the employee exclusion. And if this panel feels that either of those exclusions apply to this claim that's being made, then there is no coverage, and the trial court was correct and should be affirmed. But before I move on to the workers' compensation exclusion argument, I would like to point out one thing. In the employee exclusion, there is an exception, which is the domestic employee exception. And when there is an exception to an exclusion, the burden of proof shifts from the insurance carrier to whoever is trying to establish coverage to demonstrate that the exception applies. And that's a critical point with regard to the employee exclusion and the argument that domestic employee is somehow ambiguous.
But didn't you first have the burden to prove that the exclusion, at least on the surface, applies? And
yes.
And then the burden would shift back to the plaintiff to show that the exception to the exclusion applies.
Yes, Justice Livingston. In fact, the four corners of the first amended petition that Mr. Robertson filed specifically alleges that he was an employee of Ray Materials. And counsel today has acknowledged that Ray Materials was his employer. So I think that our burden was met on demonstrating the exclusion applied because of the four corners of the pleading.
Arising out of and in the course and scope of his employment.
Pardon me?
Arising out of and in the course of his employment.
Absolutely. And I think that the pleading that is was in place, the live pleading at the time of the court's decision, Judge Evans, was that plaintiff began driving for defendants in October of 2005. And he is claiming also that at all relevant times, the defendants were non-subscribers and did not provide their employees workers' compensation insurance. So at the time the decision was made in the trial court, the live pleadings that were on file by Mr. Robertson established, I think, conclusively that he was an employee. And they have not argued that he was not an employee at the time of the accident.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's more of a procedural issue, but you started your argument by saying if either of these exclusions apply, there is no coverage.
Yes.
Okay. So in the absence of the exclusions, there is coverage.
I think that if the argument, I think, is that there is still one issue that was presented a fact question, but we think that that
right, the third ground for summary judgment.
Correct, but
the trailer.
Justice Walker, I think you're correct. If the exclusions don't apply, then potentially coverage might exist.
Okay, my question then is, in your briefing in response to our order for preparation for this en banc, you draw a distinction between the fact of an employer's liability policy, which you claim was at issue in Renatech and Fairfield, and this type of third-party liability policy, correct?
Yes.
But yet, when you look at the order, when you look at the June 4th, 2008 order granting summary judgment, it looks like the summary judgment was not granted on that ground, but based on the exclusions and then the fact issue on the truck trailer. And so my question is, are those two different things? I mean, it seems to me like now on appeal you're saying something akin to, but you're trying to make a car insurance liability claim on your homeowner's policy. But I'm not seeing that that was raised in the summary judgment. It looks like your summary judgment grounds were these two exclusions apply, and then concerning the tractor trailer. So I'm wondering if procedurally what you have put in your brief concerning the en banc conference is really technically before us, because this was a summary judgment, and the issues that are that must be decided, we can only address the issues for summary judgment that were addressed by the trial court. We can't affirm on a basis that you did not raise before the trial court.
I understand your concern, Justice Walker. I think that in terms of the public policy type of argument that we're making and the distinctions that we're trying to draw between the Fairfield case, the Rentec Steel case, and this case, I think those issues are issues that we are trying to address in terms of distinguishing the cases and giving this panel the opportunity to affirm their judgment based upon the distinguishing characteristics between the types of policies and the types of public policy concerns behind those cases. And I do concede that was not addressed at the time of the summary judgment motion because of the pleadings that were on file, the four corners of the pleadings and the four corners of the policy. This is a trucking liability policy. There was never any issue raised, as far as I recall, as to this policy should be designed to try and bridge gaps in coverage. I think the coverages that are provided for under the policies are distinct and distinguish the holding of this court, of the panel of July 15, 2010, from the Rentec Steel and the Fairfield opinions.
That was a general liability policy. It's meant for protection against third-party claims. But in looking at the cases that you cite, I don't see any Texas cases. I see one Fifth Circuit case. And in that case, there was a decision by the Fifth Circuit on a general liability policy, but it was an employee who was suing the employer, and they found that there was an unambiguous exclusion. They didn't decide the case on this is a general liability policy. It's to protect against third-party claims, and therefore the employee's not covered. So what's your authority for that position?
Well, Your Honor, I think the authority that I would try and refer this panel to would be that in trying to distinguish between the cases and the public policy rationale behind them, I think that the impact of the workers' compensation exclusion that was addressed in the Markell case, for example, and in the Hagendorf case, they were addressing general liability policies and the workers' compensation exclusion in those policies. And so in terms of a specific case reference, I don't have a specific case reference for that position.
Could you address the difference, the argument about whether there's a difference, whether the plaintiff pleads common law negligence or pleads that liability of the employer is as a non-subscriber under the Texas Workers' Compensation Act, as he did in this case?
Well, and I think that is a distinguishing characteristic between the case before this panel and the Rentec Steel decision. In Rentec Steel, the plaintiff specifically pled that they were not proceeding under any aspect of workers' compensation law. In this case, Mr. Robertson pled specifically that it was a non-subscriber case, and that at the bench trial, he also argued that the comparative responsibility of Mr. Robertson should not be submitted or considered by the trial court. And I think that those characteristics allow for another distinction between this court's opinion and the Rentec Steel opinion, and I think it's a significant distinction because in this case, Mr. Robertson actively embraced the Workers' Compensation Act and brought his claim under the Act and sought to recover under the Act.
How is he seeking to recover under the Act by saying it's a non-subscriber case? That's an oxymoron. I mean, by saying it's a non-subscriber case, you're specifically saying you're not under the Comp Act.
Well, I think that, Justice Walker, I think that because the Texas Workers' Compensation Act prohibits any consideration of his contributory negligence or his comparative responsibility, it is being brought under the Act, and it is seeking recovery under the Act. And as a result, I think the distinction between this case and the Rentec Steel opinion is significant because in the Rentec Steel opinion, they were not seeking recovery under the Act, and they specifically disavowed it. In this case, I think that the under 406.033, the structure of the claim is specifically delineated by the Act and provided for only by the Act. And so his recovery is an obligation under the Act. And I think as a result, the workers' compensation exclusion does apply. And I think
doesn't the Fifth Circuit's opinion directly address that when they discuss the Robertson case and they say that the opinion in the Robertson case conflates governs versus obligates? It says, you know, the Texas Workers' Compensation Act isn't what created the cause of action. It's common law. And, I mean, they discuss exactly what you just talked about. Yes, it designed a structure, but it didn't create the cause of action. And we're just supposed to ignore that discussion?
Your Honor, my response would be this, that in the Rentec Steel opinion, they, I think, create a distinction between governs and obligates that isn't in the Act, that isn't, I don't believe that it's a distinction that has a fundamental effect on the decision of this court, because the obligation that is created, the liability, the damages are an obligation for which the insured is held liable because of a non-subscriber case. And I think that because it is a non-subscriber case, it is both governed by and it is an obligation created by the Workers' Compensation Act. And I think that the reason is because the comparative responsibility of the plaintiff is not allowed to be submitted to the trier of fact. And therefore, the obligation is created under the Act and is wholly consumed by the Act. And I think in the Rentec Steel opinion, the arguments that they address conflate those terms, and I don't think that the terms are necessarily mutually exclusive.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes.
In the Robertson case, Mr. Robertson is driving the truck and he's working for the trucking company that's got the insurance on the automobile. That's the truck he's driving.
Yes, sir.
And what happens is he's got a tarp that he says is defective and needs to get replaced. Tells the employer, I've got this bad tarp and I need to replace it. And the employer's representative of the dispatcher says, you got to make do with that. There's another fellow ahead of you. I'm getting a new tarp, and you got to just make do with your tarp. Part of the job of driving the truck is to take care of putting the tarp on the load so the load doesn't scatter stones all over the road while they're driving. And so he went to work this one day after talking about the defective tarp and said, I've got my tarp out here. It's defective. And the dispatcher says, well, you just pull it over the load. And what he did was he attached the tarp to the front of his truck trailer bed and was trying to pull it over the load. And that's when the tarp, the defective tarp, released from the front of the trailer and he fell back on the stones and hurt himself. And am I described accurately the accident in this case?
Justice Meyer, I believe that is accurate.
And so in terms of comparative negligence or contributory negligence, if he's out there working with a tarp that he knows is defective and it causes him to fall and hurt himself, there would be factual issues to submit to a jury if those were allowed defenses as to whether his action contributed to his damages and his injury. And that's what was excluded from this case by virtue of the pleadings of the plaintiffs and the way the case was tried under the benefits of 406.033 and the Workers' Compensation.
Yes, sir.
Now, accurately described your position in terms of why this is an action that arises pursuant to the Act?
Yes, sir.
If it was an act, if it was a, just a common law negligence claim, then these defenses would have been capable of being presented in this case.
That is correct.
Thank you, sir.
I would also argue that, and one of the issues that we were requested to brief is the application of the Fairfield case. And I think in the Rentec Steel opinion, the court cites to Fairfield and tries to distinguish the decision by the panel in the Robertson opinion to say that the Robertson opinion does not address or fails to account for the Texas Supreme Court's decision in Fairfield. However, in the Fairfield case, the only issue that was certified over to the Texas Supreme Court was the issue of whether public policy grounds prohibited the application of an insurance policy in terms of having to pay for exemplary damages. In the Fairfield opinion, the court never held that the standard employer liability policy in Fairfield provided coverage for gross negligence, although that's what the Fifth Circuit stated the opinion held, but that is not correct, and that was one of the specific reasons for the Fifth Circuit and the Rentec Steel opinion to disagree with the panel's opinion in Robertson. I think that this court absolutely got it right on its July 15, 2010 opinion. I think the first point is that the Fifth Circuit opinion is not binding on this court. It is an eerie guess. And as a result, it is not a decision that this court has to follow. The second point I would make would be that the policies are different. Justice Meyer, you brought up this point earlier. The difference between an employer's liability policy and a third-party liability policy, they're very significant because Mr. Robertson, in his briefing on this appeal, has argued that somehow the third-party liability policy should fill in a gap where there is not coverage. And I think, Justice McCoy, I think you hit the nail right on the head when you asked about the big picture. What other policies are out there that might provide coverage? And the answer is an employer's liability policy would provide coverage and a workers' compensation policy would provide coverage. But a third-party liability policy simply does not extend coverage to injuries of employees based on the applications of both of these exclusions. In addition, the facts are completely different, as we've discussed earlier. The facts between the Rentec Steel case, even the Fairfield case, again, was an employer's liability policy. And in this case, Mr. Robertson embraced the Texas Workers' Compensation Act. The exclusions at issue between the two policies in Rentec Steel and in the case before this panel are not identical. They talk about different aspects of coverage, obligations for which an employer might be held liable. So the exclusions are not completely identical, as argued by Mr. Robertson. Again, I think in this case, the Texas Workers' Compensation Act both governs and creates the obligation for which Mr. Robertson is seeking to recover against his employer. There are other policies out there, and the public policy rationale behind those other policies is to provide coverage for employees that are injured in the course and scope of their employment. I think earlier Mr. Smith argued about the King case and argued that the King case disavowed any holding that the Workers' Compensation Act created an obligation. But I think in the Kroger 2 or King 2 opinion, the court did not address that specific issue. It didn't disavow it. It just simply didn't address it. I would also argue that they did waive ambiguity. The argument about ambiguity on the Workers' Compensation Act, they waived it. They did not brief it at the trial court level, and therefore they waived it on appeal. In terms of the employee exclusion, the domestic employee exception to the exclusion, again, they bear the burden of proof on it. The only case that they find that cites this domestic employee might be somebody in the United States is an unpublished opinion from the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals. It does not have precedential value, and should not adopt that reasoning.
Can we agree that ready mix would have no
Well, I don't think that it would, and I think that...
You're issuing a policy over the ready mix knowing that they don't have any such employees under your definition?
Well, I think the definition of the majority courts of the majority of the courts that have considered the specific phrasing of domestic employee have rejected the argument. And the court in Canal versus Flores and the Fifth Circuit in Amerisher also rejected that narrow interpretation of domestic employee being someone from the United States. I think that in this case, Mr. Robertson was a statutory employee of the trucking company at the time of the accident. If he's not driving a truck, there's no coverage at all. That's the first hoop that to establish coverage. After that, the exclusion applies to remove the coverage. This is an obligation for which there is no coverage based upon both exclusions, but significantly based upon the employee exclusion. And the domestic employee argument is simply too tenuous to uphold, and we would ask that this court affirm its earlier judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Smith, rebuttal.
May it please the court and counsel. The obligation that arose because Ray Ready Mix failed to meet a duty imposed by Texas common law. And that law was not created by the Texas Workers' Compensation Act. Furthermore, we believe that Kroger versus King shows the Supreme Court expressly states that they did not decide that a workers' comp claim, that a non-subscriber claim arose under the Workers' Comp Act when there had been previous language about that. Furthermore, there have been other cases. Well, the Fairfield case talks about the nature of a common law punitive damage claim that is not barred by the Workers' Compensation Act, and that is the basis of which the Fifth Circuit held, again, why the Erie guess was a correct one. In response to Justice McCoy's question, the opinion of the Fifth Circuit has no precedential or binding precedential value on this court, but it does have precedential value with regard to the interpretation of other federal court decisions that this court relies upon. Finally, the Russell versus Wendy's case, and I always get hungry when I read that case, but it that case holds that a non-subscriber claim is a common law claim and not a workers' comp claim that would bar the application of an ability to add a party under Section 33.002C1 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code. That's a 2007 Dallas Court of Appeals opinion. And finally, the one Texas court that has addressed the domestic employee exclusion is a petition denied case from the fellow court of appeals, Carroll versus Castillo, which is almost in all relevant respects identical to this case, and the court held the domestic employee exception to the exclusion is ambiguous and therefore should be interpreted to provide coverage. Unless the court has any further questions, again, it's been an honor to argue before this court and with Mr. Jackson. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Your case is submitted.